Eita 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 hola Zimbabwe muhle ndeipiko ama dzangu ndinomugamuchira imchirongwa chedu cheve chidiki uhlelo The Connection with your boy Mike Hove. Welcome, welcome, welcome Zimbabwe muhle to Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Today is Tuesday the 23rd of July 2019 and I'm your host Mike Hove. Once again, Zimbabwe Muhle, welcome, welcome, welcome. Munechirongwa chedu cheve chidiki uhlelo The Connection with your boy Big Mike, aka Mike Hove. And today is Tuesday, the 23rd of July, 2019. Tonight on The Connection, we catch up with graduates of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, the flagship program of the Young African Leaders Initiative, which many of you know it as the YALI program, which is sponsored by the United States government. Before we go far, Zimbabwe Muhle, let's take a look at a video courtesy of the U.S. State Department, which explains more about the YALI program.
The Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders has empowered thousands of leaders from sub-Saharan Africa to spur economic growth and prosperity, enhance peace and security, and strengthen democratic governance. These young leaders come to colleges and universities across the U.S. to study business and entrepreneurship, civic leadership, and public management. They build skills and forge bonds with American counterparts. When they return home, they maintain these networks with Americans and others on the continent and put their leadership skills to use to shape the continent's future.
We've been given the power to transform this world. When you know you have a vision, you have a goal, together we can change this world.
Going out into the community, doing community service, understanding how the American society works, and then seeing how different or how the same we are, we all have a part to play in trying to make sure that we advance the lives of everybody around us, not just ourselves.
I stand here before you as a humble servant of you, the people.
The fellowship seeks to empower the next generation of the continent's youth, building on Nelson Mandela's legacy.
It is time for new hands to lift the burdens. It is in your hands now.
It is time for new hands to lift the burden. Danki, danki, kyaleboga. Yabonga. Shout out to Tata Madiba, Nelson Mandela right there, the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. But as we continue the program, let me give you a little more info about the Mandela Washington Program, or some of you know it as the Young African Leaders Initiative, or the YALI Program. The six-week program, which started in 2014 under the Barack Obama administration and is still running, aims to uplift thousands of young African leaders. I repeat, thousands, abantu abaningi, vanhu vakawanda zvikurusa, most of them who are aged 25 up until 35. For you to be part of this program, you have to have an established record of promoting innovation and positive impact in organizations, institutions, communities, and in your countries. According to one of the companies responsible for the YALI program, which is titled, which is named IREX, over 300 Zimbabweans have been part of the program thus far. The Mandela Washington Fellowship, we're going to be catching up with alumni members, graduates of the YALI program. They're going to explain to us how the program works. They're going to explain to us how the program has changed their lives and, of course, how the program has changed their communities. Plus 1202-465-0318. Your WhatsApp number. You can call us live on Air Zimbabwe Muhle on plus 1202-619-2077. Tip for Nyiro, 909 medium wave frequency, pa 4930, pa 6065, uyeje pa 15460 kilohertz. Abafisu bugela uhlelo lolugu internet, se asagaza, we're broadcasting live on www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashana.com, sikonanjalugu www.voaindebele.com. However, Zimbabwe Muhle, As we speak right now, for our Facebook fanatics, we're broadcasting live on our three Facebook pages, those being VOA Studio 7, VOA Shona, Uye Zepa, VOA Ndebele. So Zimbabwe Muhle, Shani Uhlelo, share Ichirongwa, share the program so that sibukele uhlelo lolu ngobunenye bethu, tuone no wandu wedu. Let's watch the program in our masses. And of course, let your family see that you participated. For those that are liking the program, fagana ma likes, fagana ma hearts, kutira kuti vanhu vaonewozve kare kuti aiwa, Chirongwa chiri kunakidza. Pindai muchirongwa, Chirongwa The Connection, muine ni Mike Hove.
Heita, hola, ndeipiko, hamadzangu. If you are with us right now, you are tuned into The Connection. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Tanki, abontanga. Tinotenda zvikuru nekupinda muchirongwa. Now, all I ask is that you follow us on social media and join the conversation. Our Facebook pages are VOA Studio 7, VOA Shona, and VOA Ndebele. Or you can text us on WhatsApp. The number is +1 202 465 0318. To converse with me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. The username is at BigMike3. BigMyke3.
At Big Mike 3 is the username on Twitter and Instagram. What was Zimbabwe muhle musamhanye uko kuma page angu ye Twitter nepa Instagram uchinditsvaga izvezvi. Nekuti for the next hour Zimbabwe muhle mutsvakazo muhle sikona lapha emakhasini eto matatu tripana pa tukutepfenyura pa mapage edu matatu VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele uye zvepa VOA Studio 7. So asixoxeni konapa ngatikurukurei pana pa mapage edu matatu munyore maonero enyu munyore manamba kana muchida kupinda Chirongwa, tinokufonerai, we will call you ukuze lingene kuhlelo live namhlanje. Once again, Zimbabwe Muhle, welcome to Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Namhlanje kuhlelo takatarisi rakubata nyaya ye Chirongwa che Mandela Washington Fellowship, or as some of you know it, the YALI program, Young African Leaders Initiative, which is a flagship program sponsored by the United States government. Icho Chirongwa ichi chine chinangwa che kusimudzira vanhu vatungamiriri vanhu vari vanhu vechidiki vanobva ku Africa. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young African leaders have gone through this program. Thus far, this program started in 2014. 2019, thus far, over 300 Zimbabweans have been on this program thus far. So we're looking forward to hearing from some of the alumni members who are going to be joining our program. Lamhlanje besitshela kuningi ukuthi, one, uhlelo lolu luhambe njani. Two, Chirongwa ichi chakavabatsira sei, uyezve chakasimudzira their communities in what way. But joining me live via telephone from Bulawayo Ntuthuzeyathunqa is my first guest, Ubutholezi Khosinyati. He's a YALI fellow from 2016. He is the new regional director of the National Arts Gallery, and also he's the programs manager of Amakuku International Heritage Center. Butso, ngiyakwamukela kuhlelo but.
Thank you very much, Mike. Good evening, listeners.
Before we go far, I never got the opportunity to say congratulations on your selection as the new regional director for the National Arts Gallery. I'm sure people.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's the National Gallery in Bulawayo. Thank you for the
okay.
Good wishes, Mike.
Right. So, sitinte ndaba lukhona namhla, Butso, we're talking about the YALI program. You are one of 300 of more, actually 300 or more Zimbabweans who have been through this program. You graduated in 2016. What has your journey been like since 2016, since you graduated from this program?
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity to share some key highlights of my journey since 2016, when I was a Mandela Washington Fellow. I was deployed in New York, Wapner College in particular. And, you know, the beauty with the fellowship is that it exposes you to fellow change leaders from other different African countries, sub-Saharan African countries. So for me, one of the biggest benefits has been access to that network of peer collaborators fellow young people with a passion to drive meaningful, positive change in their communities. And I've since then been in touch with some of those people, and we engage in regular conversations to share perspectives, to share ideas. You know, peer mentorship, peer support, that's a very important element, you know, as a young leader, you know, to get people inputting into your own interventions. People are not necessarily biased. You can also bring in their different perspectives as well. So that has been one of the major highlights. Then the other one that I can mention is the follow-on opportunities, the Mandela Washington Fellowship. I'm an arts, culture, and heritage practitioner. That's my passion and occupation. But the fellowship is not arts and culture specific. It is very generic because it brings people from different backgrounds. But I was then able to do some serious networking when I was there for 7 weeks in the USA. Such that I was then able to get another opportunity. When I went in 2016, I then returned in 2017 for an art-specific fellowship that I explored myself. So it took me being in America to unlock some of those opportunities. And when I returned home, the other benefit has been that there is a component which is called the reciprocal exchange visit, where you get the opportunity to invite people that you met during your time in the USA. You invite them to your country. I invited an American, Tina Haney, and I was then working for Amakuku International Heritage Center, and she came and supported us to do a strategic planning process. And that strategic plan is what has strengthened the programming of the organization, has been able to mobilize resources to do the cultural heritage preservation work that I was doing at that time. So that has been the greatest benefit. And perhaps I can also mention the last element, among many others that I have not mentioned, the opportunity that I also got to pursue the Mandela, or rather the Chevening Scholarship, you know. I had attempted the Chevening Scholarship in 2015. I was not successful. And then when I returned from the Mandela Washington Fellowship, I gave it another go. So I think that accolade in my CV went a long way in enhancing my acceptability for the Chevening Scholarship. And when I came back for the Chevening Scholarship, that is when I then got this opportunity to become the regional director of the National Gallery in Bulawayo. So I can link these things, one thing leading to the other, up to where I am now, where I'm currently serving. And for me, public service probably is the highest service to humanity, where you now serve the greater good and practice the tenets of servant leadership, as is emphasized by the Mandela Washington Fellowship. So I've tried to do a marathon. So that has been the journey in short, Mike.
Let me take a call and then I'll come back to you, Angit.
Okay.
All right, kola mtereri wekutanga, chirongwa chato tanga kupisa, ariparo nare ukone kwenye ndiani.
Aiwa, murugutara na Victor Marimira, nrufona nrufu South Africa.
Mkoma Victor, zurufamba?
Aiwa, kuno kukuri kufamba.
Ndimi ka murugu South Africa, mnoza ku South Africa kune regional program ya alifutiko?
Ku South Africa kune ma program akati wandei ariko asitani ngada ungonye nyo farira ndeshe kukuru kote zaveshwa kakubudira kunopinda program ya Mandela.
Saka tuzeo maonore nyo pamsoro pe zurongwa zwakafanya ne ze Mandela Washington Fellowship.
Zurongwa zwakaita seizi chirongo handongo dira kuti chete zvino zvinoita kuti upenyu hwave chidiki huenderere mberi nekusemudzirawo nyika yedu.
Mungati zviri kubudirira.
Mati.
Ndati mungati zvirongwa izvi zviri kubudirira here?
Ya, zviri kubudirira uye kutosimudza mureza wenyika nekupawo vechidiki vamwe vasati vapinda mazviri kuti vange vachiwanawo vachiita shungu dzekupindawo mazviri. Tingati vanhu vakawanda vatonzwawo chero nguva dzatii takambogara takateerera nepenyuro iyoyi. Vanhu vakawanda vanenge vachishuvira kudai ndirinowo ndapinda mazviri.
Haiwa, mukana uchiripo mukoma. Mune makore mangani masvika 35 here? Ah, mkara uchiripo, nguwa jaa, wii ye kutumupinde mchirongo ichi. Saka ina angu pachezo angu, I urge you kutumupi mu, apply yo kuitra mumbo wana umkana ukupinda pane mchirongo ichi kada yandis.
Ayu watinote ina mkuma maichi.
Ayu watinote ina nukupinda mchirongo mkuma Victor andis.
Afaganaka.
Mwe nezo raganaka. Right, zuluka ndaba nangu umlaleli wethu oqala uVictor uyangena kuhlelo uthi I'm shope to all the young people who have been members who are alumni who are part of this program. Ngishilo ngathi I this program is still continuing. Sikhuluma nje kula basakhulayo over 40 young Zimbabweans who are in America as we speak. Sikhangulukuthi some of them are going to be on our program next week lapho sizabe sixoxa with the 2019 Mandela Washington Fellowship. Kodwa namhlanje we're focusing on the alumni. We want to hear Ubutibona. How has this program helped them thus far? Ekwengweni ngilo mnumzana Ubutolezi Khosinyati. He's the regional director of the National Gallery. Right, Ubuto, usakho ekwengweni. Hello. Right. We were talking about your work as the regional director. Now, I've paid attention to the National Gallery since you've taken over. And one thing I can definitely say is a lot of them who are actually actively involved in this. I've seen a lot of artists come there and launch their stuff. I've seen a lot of young people come and launch their products. What exactly is your vision moving forward for young people?
Fantastic, a very important question indeed. Well, my vision goes beyond just the walls of the National Gallery in Bulawayo. But starting with the gallery itself, the desire is for more of what you say you've observed to date over the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
My desire is for the gallery to be a vibrant, creative space. And what do I mean by vibrant? On any given day or any given weekend, there should be something happening in this space, because my belief is if Bulawayo is the real or perceived cultural capital of Zimbabwe, then the National Gallery in Bulawayo is a vital core in terms of giving practical meaning to this belief, either real or imagined. So any visitor, local, foreign, regional, international, coming to the city should look forward to visiting the gallery, because that is the space that allows them to have a practical feel of the cultural vibe in Bulawayo. And this goes beyond just the visual arts. Our principal primary mandate is to promote visual arts. We are very clear in that regard. But we are also alive to the reality that if we are to be a vibrant city, we also have to play a leading role in allowing other art forms to find expression in our space, which is why you'll see these young musicians coming to launch their music albums, corporate coming to do their different events. It is all about bringing all the different art genres under the space of the gallery, all of them finding expression, so that ultimately the vibrancy also finds expression in the public space. That is the other element that I want to promote strongly. You know, I've had the benefit of traveling regionally and internationally. I have seen what vibrant cities look like, what creative cities look like, and my desire using an institution such as the gallery is to also exert that influence and ensure that the vibrancy that is now inherent in the gallery also finds expression in the public spaces of the city. People minding their business, and maybe they encounter a group of artists painting a mural or just painting a canvas, and they also get to participate in that. I call that unmuting the city. Right now, the city, in my opinion, is mute. We claim to be the cultural capital. We are the city of kings, but there is nothing apparent that you will see as you walk the streets of Bulawayo that tells you who those kings were, when did they rule, what are their names.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, that's something that I have drawn at the city council to really strongly consider, to say, as we market our cultural assets, let that be so obvious that we are the city of kings. Who were those kings?
Mm-hmm.
And on our part, the idea now is to also promote public art expression you know, to really have that strong sense of being, that strong sense of identity, and that strong sense of belonging. And it is the arts that can play that role. Then my other interest is digitization. You know, I am fully aware that the future is digital, and I don't want to go the route that newspapers are now going, where technology, new media is really transforming how they do business, and they're least prepared. So we've already introduced the virtual tour of the gallery, which you can also access from Washington, D.C. Right now, and get to see the very exhibitions that people here are enjoying. So for me, that is just a signal to say where we are going, we will be having more digital exhibitions. And this is deliberate. We are responding to the demographic profile of the country, where over 65% of our people are below 25 years. And those people are found in digital spaces. We can't ignore that demographic dividend. So this is our way of saying we want to tap into these potential audiences. So for me, that is the long and short of my desire. With the National Gallery in Bulawayo, digitization, public art expression, and enhance the creative vibrancy of the gallery as an institution.
Right. I'm going to come back to you in 1 second. I want to talk to you a little more about the idea of collaboration, seeing as though that's one thing that seemed to have been pushed by former President Barack Obama. So, all right, Ndunguzon Dinemteri, Ariparnare, and then I have my second guest, Uruzivo Chionyere Klingweni. Asire Gaintangenda Toram Tereri, Kola Kolam Tereri, Mavakupinam Chirongwa, Ariparnare, Mbano Kone Klingwen.
Hello.
Hey, Zurufamber Mgum.
Tinofara Magadivo.
Aiwa, Trukfara, Trukfara, Ariparnare, Ndiani.
Lame Chuara.
Hey, Bachuara, Zurufamber. Ndizvozvo ndirikumbofarawo nekuti nhasi pachirongwa tine vechidiki vari kuita zvinhu zvinofadza zvikurusa vanga vari pachirongwa cheMandela Washington Fellowship. Saka tiudzeiwo kamaundiro enyu baba, ndimi kamapinda muchirongwa.
Zvinhu zvinokurudzirwa kuti vechidiki tinge tichivaonawo vachipinda muchirongwa zvakadai. But the big part of it, HDTV1 and Sanga Chuana support. Unfortunately, support here at HDTV1. I talk about Chuana from our government. This was really a good Josa. HDTV must be scared. Takawanda Vanezipo, Jakawanda, Shana Sanga Expos, that they are failing to just put the gender support. It's like exposure. In Zimbabwe, we are a rich country because Daka invests in people's talents. God invests in people's talents. Never manage to, but to express it, we cannot just go to gender support. Those real jobs are become mysterious character.
Saka zvino zvogadzirwa sei? Hamusi kuona here hurumende yeAmerica nayo iri kutraya, iri kuunza vechidiki vanobva kuAfrica kuti muuyewo kuno kuAmerica mumbodzidzawo, muone kuti technology inoshanda sei, mukadzokera kumusha muonawo nzira dzokuti apaka pari kunetsa, tikadai togona kugadzirisa nyaya dziri kunetsa.
Ipapo murikureesa, but zvofananga zvichitangira kumusha manje. Cherit begins with home. Mwana kana dati akura anesika. Antanga dziswa sika dzomba make. Then kakaenda kunze kwaanenge akusposa. Ava kunze nyangwa akazobatsikidza kuti vamugadzirise. Pane vamunhu kwayo. But ukati mumba mauri kugara ndimo muri kuitwa mabasa akaipa kuba upombwe wati wati. Isati tichiita kuti vekunze vanozogadzira kuita munhu wakanaka ba. Saka mukati mauri ndimo manofanga achidini. Ndo mumba maunobva ndomufanga nichigadziriswa first. Ndinotozoenda kuAmerica kutozonoradzidza zvipo zvenyu nekudzidziswawo futi technology yacho. But kana tichinge tiri munyika matiri kugara zviri kukundikanika izvo, it would be very very possible. Chakakosha ndechekuti muno munyika matiri vechidiki vanga vachipuwa maopportunities vanga vachiitwa zvavanoita. For example, ndiga nichikupa example iri kweri kuyi. Tine majames edu akabva kuengland kuliverpool vakanotamba zvakanaka. Handirika vatamba zvakanaka but unoona kuti vakatadza kubhadharwa zvakanaka wechidiki achada kutamba bhora like netball achaziva ane vane impression yekuti achiona vanhu vasiri kubhadharwa naizvozvo ndo support yati kutaura hatina support munyika matodi matodi the government is failing.
Aiwa takunzwa zvakanaka vachiora tinotenda zvikurusa nekupinda muchirongwa handiti
ya
mudzoke next week chirongwa ndechenyu baba
sharp.
Right, Zuluka Ndabalia Muzwa Nangu Mnumzana Uchiora, he threw a lot of words there. One thing he was touching on was the idea. Uti, hai, ngempela, the work that's being done by the U.S. government, it's beautiful, it's amazing. However, charity begins at home. Uti, uhulumende wase Zimbabwe, kumele azame ngamandla wonke ukuthuthukisa abantu abasakhulayo. Hanzi, uhulumende yoku Zimbabwe, aiwa, it should try by all means kusimudzira vanhu vechidiki. Let me go to my second guest. She is a globetrotter. She's a consultant. She's a TV host. She's everything you can be. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program, Ruzibo. How are you doing?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I am great, sister. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's it's a pleasure having you on the show. Let's get into it. Ruzibo, you are here in 2017. You were here on the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. Now, I've followed your career since then. I've seen you host stuff all over South Africa, all over the world. Just the other day, I was calling you a globetrotter. Tell us a little more about your journey since you left the Mandela Washington Fellowship.
So I think for me, my Mandela Washington Fellowship journey has not ended. That's to be very honest. After I finished in 2017 and I came back from the U.S., I came back and became part of the Southern Africa Regional Advisory Board. And as I was part of that Regional Advisory Board, we were in charge of ensuring that the fellows from our year are able to connect with the other fellows, as well as just have, like, you know, now that we're back, what are we doing? Catch up, have conversations. We had communities of practice where we were talking about the issues affecting our various nations. And we, you know, then had continental conference to top that off. Like at the end of it. So I was still part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship. I was chairperson of the Southern Africa Regional Advisory Board. First female chair, I may say, yay!
Makurukutu.
So it was really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, you've worked across the board. You globetrot. You've worked with different big brands. How has that worked out for you? You know, one of the things that I was highlighting is that with Yali, they seem to instill in you the idea of collaboration, working across the continent and working with brands that you met and networked with whilst you were here in America. How has that worked out for you?
I think it's actually worked out really great because as a result of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, so many opportunities and networks were opened. After I came back, one of the follow-on programming stuff that I did was I was seconded to a CEO of an organization in South Africa, and I was job shadowing him. Mm-hmm. So basically what this meant was that I was learning the skills of how this CEO was running his business to take back for me as an entrepreneur and put back in my business when I get back to Zimbabwe, number one. But number two, to also be able to give in and show the company what I'm able to do over and above what they already have. So as a consultant, I also got in there and started consulting. Mm-hmm. And I was also shadowing him. This was as a result of the fellowship. It was networks after the fellowship. So you will find that through that, I did the 2 weeks that was mandatory for the program. But after that, till today, so this was 2017 when I was in the fellowship, till today, I still consult for this company and now on a paying basis. So now, that was the relationship that was built as a result of that. And I'm still able to do so much work for them in different provinces in South Africa over the years still. And then I've also gotten connections through that. So you'll find that the networking part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship is very serious if you decide to take it seriously.
Right. Ngatichibata inyaya yekusimudzira vamwe vechidiki, because I understand that's one of the requirements that are there when it comes to being a participant of the Mandela Washington Fellowship. It's about affecting those around you and uplifting communities. Nebasa raunoita, ungati wa you've tried kusimudzira vamwe vechidiki.
Chokwadi, sekandi nechikoro chandino supporta takatanga a non-profit inonzi Ona Zimbabwe. pane chikoro chatinosupporta chiri out of Harare chiri kumapinga takadecida kuenda kuchikoro chine vana vechidiki so it's actually primary school level kwatiri kuda kubatsira navo nezvemabhuku kuwana kwavo mabhuku kuvadzidzisa kutaura zvakanaka you know public speaking getting to some of their drama and just encouraging them taka vaendesa kutrip so most of these children you want to understand are about 100 kilometers out of Harare asi havasati vambosvika kuHarare kwacho vanoita kokunzwa chikoro ichi chiri panga paine plaz kudhara saka vazhinji vacho vanogara mukomboni repanga pane plaz iroro saka chikuru chandingade chandinofila kuti ndakaiita pane vana ava kubatsirana nevamwe vangu kuti tivaunze kuHarare kwacho kubig city kuti vaone kuti kokadii vakaendawo kunhandare yendege vakaenda kunana dairy board takavaendesa kunoona mamovie kustay kineko and I think chinhu chakandibata was one of the words of one of the young children doing grade 7 akataura kuti tinoita basa mandiunza ndaona magetsi kuHarare kana ndazokura ndinoshuvira kuti zvandinozoita ndirambe ndichifunga kuti nyika haisi kungori kumapinga chete asi yakakura so just that exposure for me and being able to do that is a big deal. Of course, I've been able to be on platforms in high schools, elsewhere, in the region to speak to young people and encourage them. But for me, the Mapinga story hits close to home. Nekuti munhu angasinga zombowana munhu anomutaurira. I went to a small school. I went to a township school. Saka kuti ndikwanise kunotaura nevamwe vana kuvataurira kuti aiwa pauri ipapo. Unogona kutosimudzirwa kuenda kure chinhu chakandikoshera sitereki
aiwa regai ndikubate pamuromo ruzivo nditore muteereri and then I'll come back to you andit
thanks
all right ndikudzwa kuti ndine muteereri parunare kola mulaleli okonecingweni ari parunare ndiani
misamusaidza ndichihora pajobekas
vachihora zviri kufamba
michana
kuri seiko kujobeku
mazuva ano kune kamhepo kanotondora zvisingaiti
chiuyai kudc zuva rakawandisa kunoko
no tiri kuuya chirongwa ichi chemandela washington fellowship chirongwa chakanaka chaizvoizvo mbo pachakatanga tasumudzira vechidiki vakawanda muno muafrica zvakare taunza chasumudzira zveekonomi panyaya dzeemployment creation of employment panyaya dze
vachiora kubva foni kubva yadimbuka kudai kutiita zvokutiza but basically vachiora what you are saying is that uhlelo lweMandela Washington Fellowship yena ubona ngani hayi shui it's a good program but let me go back to Ubuntu Lezwi sizwe ukuthi yena what does he have to say about indaba ye collaboration Ubuntu are you still on the line
yes I'm connected
right umzwile nanguruzivo she was talking about how her work has affected abantu emphakathini she was talking about how she's got a school that helps abantu abasakhulayo. How have you gone to affect communities, other communities around you since you left the Mandela Washington Fellowship?
Well, like I said earlier on, when I went for the Mandela Washington Fellowship, I was at that time working for Amakuku International Heritage Center. It's a cultural center in the Matopos.
Mm-hmm.
And we work directly with the local community in Matopo. And so one of the projects that I then initiated after the fellowship was a program that I call the Traditional Food and Beverages Expo. So this is a project that is now an annual event, and it entails us engaging local smallholder farmers, women farmers in particular, to come and showcase their harvest and also prepare various traditional dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we invite the broader local community to come and buy that foodstuff. And the people from the city and the nearest city is Bulawayo. They also get to the center and get to learn about different traditional dishes in terms of how they are prepared and the various nutritional value that they get. So it's a 5 days long traditional food and beverages expo. But it creates so much commercial value for the local farmer in terms of market linkages. So that is one beauty that has also come about. And we also do what we call the My Beautiful Home competition, which is a collaborative venture that we do with various other institutions, which is also about revitalizing the traditional skill of painting Rondavel Hut using natural soil pigments. You know, I was delighted this week when Japriza released this video and the homestead setup. He shot that in Matopo, and I was proud to be associated with that project, which is now getting, you know, national attention in terms of big musicians coming to Matopo to record their music videos in that kind of particular space. And that's an indicator of the kind of beautiful work that we're doing. So that, for me, has stood out in terms of, you know, then deploying your knowledge, skills, and experience for the betterment of the community that you serve.
Mm-hmm. Now, whilst on the same issue of our collaboration across the, not just across the continent, but with people that you got to meet whilst here in America, Isimo Somnotse Elizweni is not at its most attractive. How are you going about, you know, pushing Abantu to come to Zimbabwe and collaborate with young people like yourselves?
Well, sometimes it's not about soliciting collaborations from Americans. Of course, there are significant cost implications if you do that. My argument is always that the best collaborations are from people in your city. So, for instance, when I was still with Amakuku, we did what we call the Cultural Expressions Podcast. And this we did in partnership with a fellow from 2018. So because of cost issues, it is easier to directly connect with people in your city. These are people that you meet every other day. So it's easier, it's more practical, and it's more meaningful, you know, if you collaborate with those kinds of people, assuming, of course, that the skill sets that you need are readily available. But for me, that is what has worked. People like Tuare Luwaini, Ulawa, people like Gilmo, those are people that I have collaborated with over the years since I underwent the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Mm-hmm. You know, we just meet in a local shop, have coffee, discuss, brainstorm ideas, and the next thing we're rolling. So for me, that is more practical.
Mm-hmm. And how are you urging other young people to come towards you to work alongside you?
Well, certainly, when I was with Amakuku, I've always encouraged that open-door policy to say, maybe towards the end, you just issue out a call to say, we are planning to do these things. If you are young, creative, or any other institution that is keen to collaborate with us, come through, share your idea. If it is in line with our institutional vision and mission, we collaborate accordingly. But certainly, for me, I've always believed in collaboration because that is how you can harness the knowledge, the skills, and the experience from your collaborator. You know, no man is an island. Mm-hmm. No one has a monopoly of wisdom. But there is mutual benefit when there is a collaboration. And for me, that has worked wonders over the years.
All right, Buto. And then I might have to move on and take my other guests. What words do you have to leave for the young, you know, the young people who are going to be coming in next week, who are part of the 2019 Mandela Washington Fellowship?
Well, the fellowship is just at the beginning of bigger things to come. So, you know, it's a lifetime opportunity to all intents and purposes, really looking at where we are in Zimbabwe. So those are opportunities to treasure. And I often use the expression that this is a cow, milk it as much as possible, such that the benefits are not just immediate, but medium and long term. You know, for instance, there are people that I am now engaging in my current position as the regional director of the National Gallery in Ulawa, people that I met in 2016, that at that time I never thought I would need to engage them. But now that I'm in a different station in life, I am just recalling the networks that I initiated, mm-hmm. which are now more meaningful because of what I'm now doing. And I want to believe that going forward, some of those networks will also be useful 20 years from now. So the long story short is be dedicated and committed to it and derive as much value as possible because these are indeed lifetime opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I say abonga ngongena kuhlelo Buto. Thank you so much, Angithi.
Ngiyabonga mfethu.
All right, so let's move over to Uruzivo, and then we're going to go to a little video that I have. A special, another guest of mine joined, and he had a turning moment when he was in America, and he was part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship. But let me start off, Uruzivo. Uruzivo, uchiri parunare. Ruzibo.
Yes, Mike.
Okay. So a lot of things have come out of this conversation. One of them is the issue of collaboration. I was asking Butso earlier on, how are you guys going about it? Because so how are you attracting all these people you got to meet in America, you know, across the continent, to come to Zimbabwe and actually see what Zimbabwe is all about?
So I think the biggest thing that I learned in terms of collaboration is that it starts from within.
Mm-hmm.
So Zimbabwe already has about 300 fellows, about 300 people who've been part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship 2014 to date. What are we doing about those fellows? We're very intentional how we meet. We started the Zimbabwe Alumni Association of the Mandela Washington Fellowship so that we can connect and get to know each other and get to know what we're doing so we can actually collaborate at home. But beyond that, the Southern African region itself, there's so many other fellows that need to collaborate with us in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, yes. And so you will find some of those collaborations are actually key. Even though they were birthed in the United States of America, when we come back home, those are some of the collaborations that have had the most impact. Because this person is in your continent, and you can meet and do all these things easier than the person who you met in the U.S. Not taking away anything from the collaborations we made in the United States, as much as those were important, you will find that depending on your line of work and your line of business, you sometimes are not able to maintain a collaboration for a longer period of time with somebody who's in a totally different time zone and you're doing totally different things. And the things are just different. As much as this is a global world, America has its way of doing things in Zimbabwe, or Africa has its way of doing things. So you'll find, yes, we've natured those collaborations by being open about what is actually going on. Like, okay, what is going on is that there's actually opportunity for business.
Mm-hmm.
Zimbabwe is not in its best state at the moment. The economy is not looking its best. But the efforts that are happening and the things that are happening in terms of currency, in terms of fuel, in terms of everything that's going on is actually an opportunity for someone who would like to come from another country to come and do work with us here. Consultancy doesn't stop, just like doctors don't stop operating because economies are topsy-turvy or some things are happening. So I think for us, the biggest thing that has drawn other people from the U.S. and from the rest of Africa to Zimbabwe has been us saying, look, we are actually here. We are here, and it's working. Yes, not everything is working the way it should. Mm-hmm. Things are not in the state they should be, but it's us who can get in and do our part to ensure that things move on to, you know, greater things.
Mm-hmm. All right, Batapa Nare Ruziwa, and I'll come back to you in 1 second. Uhlelo The Connection with your boy Mike Hove. Welcome, 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 Zimbabwe Muhle. If you're just joining us right now, you're tuned into Live Talk The Connection. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Nasimuchirongwa, we have alumni members of the Mandela Washington Fellowship. On the line, I have Ruziro Chonyera and another special guest who's going to be joining me, Takunda Chingozo. But before I go to Takunda, President Obama, when he launched this program, he had this thing of meeting with the Yali Fellows and talking to them. He had a Q&A session whereby he was engaging young people, and he was talking about youth development on the face of the African continent. Let's take a look.
Thank you very much. My name is Josephine Kulea. I'm from Kenya.
We got a Messiah sister right here. That's it. Go ahead.
Thank you for this great initiative, the young people, and thank you for believing in the young people. The upcoming summit with the president, I know you're going to ask them on engagement of the young people back in our countries. And my concern will be, how will you be able to engage them to commit to their promises? Because I know they're going to promise you that.
Thank you. All right, don't get carried away here. Look, part of what we've done here by building this Yali network that we're going to be doubling over the next couple of years is we're going directly to the young people and creating these networks and these opportunities. And what we're already seeing, I think, is many countries are excited by this. They're saying, you know what, this is something that can be an empowering tool for us, so let's take advantage of it. There are going to be some that may feel somewhat threatened by it. There's no doubt about that. But the good thing is we will be creating this network There are a whole bunch of people who are following this online, who are following it on social media. We'll have these regional centers. You will help to make sure that some of these promises are observed, because the whole continent of young people is going to be paying attention. And we'll be able to see which countries are really embracing this opportunity to get new young people involved and which ones are ignoring this promise. And so I will say to every one of these leaders, you need to take advantage of the most important resource you have, and that's the amazing youth in these countries. But you're going to have to also help to hold them accountable collectively across countries. And that's part of why this network can be so important.
All right. Well, that was President Barack Obama. Ubekuluma, he was talking about accountability. Ukuthi abakhokheli presidents, how are they supposed to be held accountable? After this Yali program, how are they supposed to be supporting these people? Earlier on, Mambonzo Mtereri, he was talking about the same issue. As it's in Zimbabwe, kulodubo lokuthi abantu abasakhulayo are not being supported by government. So, asizweni ukuthi bona amagesa athini ngodaba lolu. Ruzibo, let me come back to you first, and then I'm going to go to Utakunda. Ruzibo, are you on the line? Hello?
Hello, Mike. Yes, I'm on the line.
Right. Once was I told one name Skanoyo Woku Kenya, who was asking President Obama, Chiti, how do we then go ensuring could our government support the young people? Because the American government can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we move forward ensuring to ensure that we create an environment that can not just support you as a young person, but fellow youth?
I think the most important thing is to engage with them,
mm-hmm.
to be able to have them to sit down with us on a table where they're not looking at us as youngsters, but are looking at us as the future of the nation. 20, 30, 40 years down the line, it's these young people who we're talking about who will be running these various ministries, parastatals, and nations in Africa. And yet, at this moment in time, the engagement is such yaba banemwana. I think if we need to move away from we are the leaders, we know everything, we went to war, and start moving into you guys are young.
Yes.
Can we engage with you and find out how we can change things in a way that will still suit the old and also work for the young, because the world is changing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way our governments are to make sure the youth are connected is, number one, by engagement. Put us on that table, and put us on that table on a clean and fair slate.
Mm-hmm.
But allow us to start hearing some of the experiences we have, but beyond the experiences we have around the globe, to start hearing some of our deepest desires for our nation. Because it's that's the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, if we can engage, if they can engage with us, if we can sit down on that table, that would be number one. Number two, to let us be involved. I think some of the ages that are put in terms of politics just don't make sense, because the age do not define who the person is. It's what they carry inside. And as much as someone might be young, it could actually be more wise than somebody who's seemingly older. Saka, that's just that acceptance and that freedom of, you're laughing the other time, Kuti, you are allowed freedom of speech, but it's not all the time that you have freedom after speech.
Mm-hmm.
That freedom of speech to speak into your leadership candidly. So there's things that some people will never speak into the leadership in Africa for good reason. They know you're in bad books. But we want to be able to be allowed to speak candidly on economic issues, on political issues, on social issues, and raise any injustices that could be perpetuated in order for... then we can start fixing things, and things can go, according to the way globally things should be.
All right. Well, Ruzibo, takushika kumagume echirongwa. Saka ndipo your last words, ndotorawo mamwe magesi abva kupinda muchirongwa.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much. I just want to say to all the young people out there, okay, specifically to the 2019 Mandela Washington Fellows, I know they're meeting in Washington, D.C. in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say the world doesn't owe you anything. They're not there because they're owed anything. they managed to apply for an amazing program, and they made it into the program. Now that they are concluding that institute that they had, the six-week institute with the summit, it will be up to them to take everything they learned, take it back to their countries, and implement what will work according to their countries and try to make the difference. But no one will be waiting for them to come with a solution. They have to walk into those doors with the solutions, and that's the only way they will succeed. Entrepreneurs, people in the civic space, every single person who's been part of the fellowship. It's only when you go out and push beyond coming back, just coming back from the fellowship, when you start seeing results.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Ruziwa.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to having you on the program again.
I'll be around. That's no matter. All
right. Thanks so much. All right, Zimbabwe Muhle Mavakunzwa kuna Ruziwa Chonyera. You just heard from Ruziwa Chonyera earlier on. We had Ubutolezi Khosinyati. Now we're on to our last two guests who are also alumni members of the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Let's start off with the young gentleman who had the opportunity of speaking to the big man himself, President Barack Obama. Joining me live via telephone, Ngumnumzana Takunda Chingozo. Takunda, welcome, welcome, welcome. Takunda, uchiri popa runare. Ah, it seems as though we just lost Umnumzana uTakunda. However, sasamukumthola. However, Zimbabwe Muhle lingalahlithemba, we have one more young lady who was part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship in 2017. La ube khona eWashington DC. How? uTakunda sakhona ecingweni. Takunda, are you still on the line?
I'm online, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
Quite well.
That's what he's
No, not at all.
All right.
I'm really good at an intuitive, but we're still quite here.
Okay, perfect. So, Takunda, you are one amongst all the Yali members. In your year, you were actually the youngest. You had the opportunity of speaking to President Barack Obama. You had the opportunity of being interviewed on platforms like Bloomberg. Where is Takunda from Yali up until now? Where is Takunda in terms of his career?
Sure. So I'm actually still in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. A lot of people assume that I had left after, you know, most of those things, but I'm still quite here. I'm building an organization called the Tech Village, which is an innovation hub that's here in Bulawayo. And the whole idea is to work with young people who have great and amazing ideas and to help those people turn those ideas into actual businesses. And this has become way more relevant, I think, in the last 1.5 years. When, you know, just building stuff in Zim became very, very difficult. And now it's much worse because there's no electricity. You know, the cost of data has just gone up. And so that's the space that I've been working in. Right now we're supporting a community of over 600 young entrepreneurs in Zim. We have also formed a regional partnership with a couple of other innovation hubs. So you might have seen the recent reports that came out that there are over 600 and something innovation hubs in Africa now. And yet last year there were about 400 and something. So, you know, it's a trend and it's growing also and across the continent. And what we're trying to do is to try and build this and build the infrastructure that young people can leverage on to use technology, to use their ideas to try and solve the problems that, you know, that are there in the country.
Now, Takunda, you're in a very peculiar position right now. A lot of things are going off with the electricity situations and so forth and so forth. Even Econet is crying. How is Takunda surviving in this?
Yeah, man, it's difficult. Eh? So, in fact, in the last week, we reopened our co-working space in the CBD in Bulawayo, where it sort of retreated to the one space that we had at the university. But we reopened it because a lot of the young people that had been building amazing things just could not work anymore. Developers, you know, the interesting thing is with so many developers and designers, these freelancers who are here in Bulawayo, who are doing work for companies in America, in the US, in the UK, in Europe, in so many different places. And these people now could not deliver on the projects that they were working on because of, you know, not being able to access the internet. And we, you know, we felt that this was a step back because these young people have managed to, you know, to get into a very competitive niche. They are, you know, earning foreign currency. Yes, things have happened to the currency, but, you know, they were in a much better place. And so we figured it was necessary for us to reopen a space. So we've reopened in the CBD. We're not so much affected by the power cuts because we're in the CBD, so it's better than any other place that is in the periphery of the city. So that, I think, has worked in our favor. Yes, the costs are just unbearable, but we think it's something that is necessary and we can adjust the model to make that work. on the data side as well, it's really looking at different ways of innovating around it. So changing the model, making sure that it's being used more efficiently, you know, so as to manage the cost of getting that access to the internet. I think where we are sitting at right now, we will be able to continue supporting these young people, even though things are not looking up. The interesting thing about the chaos that we have in the economy and in the country is, and I think the previous person I was speaking to this as well, to say there are a lot of opportunities that are in that space, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're trying to look at, to be more optimistic about it, and to really try and take advantage of that to get things going, regardless of what, you know, politicians are doing and what has been messed up.
All right. Well, unfortunately, Nguya Yangu Ndiya Yaku teaser, so I'll give you one more opportunity, Yogutaura, and then sure. I have to hear what Nkai has to say. So as we wrap up with you, what work are you guys doing in terms of helping Vangwe Chidiki? Because that seems to be one of the biggest mandates of the Mandela Washington Fellowship.
This year, our focus is on these freelancers that I'm talking about, the guys who are doing, you know, web development, designers, all these different people. And the one thing that we're trying to do right now is to bring more social security into that space. So if you look at the regulation in Zim, there isn't enough support for freelancers. It was built with the assumption that young people will graduate, get jobs, and then, you know, have social security based on that. And so young people are spending 4 or 5 years trying to build careers and eventually, you know, making it, but they do not have a pension. They do not have medical benefits. They don't have a whole lot of things that, you know, are expected of a normal functioning society. And so that is where our focal point is. Over and above the usual, you know, what I was talking about, providing them with the infrastructure, providing opportunities in the form of work with a lot of companies locally and internationally that get in touch with us, looking for young people to engage. So, look, there are no jobs out there. It's well known, and then that is the thing. But we look at the future of work now and say, this is where work is going, and let us now begin to build systems, infrastructure, and the tools to do that, and hopefully then engage government at a policy level to say, this is where the young people are. Let us build that social security net back into, you know, even these new spaces and see how that works out. So that's kind of what we're doing now.
All right, Rachingo Dzo, thank you so much. Nokupinda mchirongwa regaitinzo kuti iyenkanye zethu anotina zvo. And it's all right, let's move over to Unkanyeze Tumalunga. Nka, unfortunately, you only have 2 minutes. In network, yahlupa. We had tried. But usungene lekuhlelo sisi, tell me a little about your journey. And of course, what you've done. I know, Utuwena, you've worked with a lot of people within the community. So let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do I start? Fellowship. I was already on the ground, but you needed that global exposure to realize how best we can bring back izinto in vela as globally relevant, at least that you ask how apply a lapa. And since then, ngoba leadership development plan, I had indicated that I would love to engage further with abantu abadala, just so we can come up or rather create a national fabric or a national dress. And furthermore, to at least establish events that could celebrate abantu abadala as ama reservoirs of knowledge and traditional. So since then, I've managed to achieve this in Tanzania. I've managed to engage with abantu abadala and not to leave abantu abadala aside. One of the plans was to at least try and bridge it gap here in Aliane corner part of Mandabatala, Lavandabata, which is and for us to get in touch with who we are, we have to reach out to Mandabatala as a way of preserving our culture. And a culture we've realized that it's very fluid. And Chinanjanga Zimbabweans, we've got there's so many influences making us who we are. You mentioned, you talk of our tribal influences, you talk of religious policy, you talk of religious influencing how we dress, how we think, you talk of the West, like there's so much making us who we are. But there's that one thing that makes us ama Zimbabweans, that makes us proud, which is Ubuntu. So it's taking Ubuntu and putting it in visual form.
All right, It's cut. All right. So that we bring you back soon. And it's Zimbabwe muhle tashika kumagumo echirongwa nguva yadyana nangatisanganei next week panapa pachirongwa The Connection. Bye bye.